Take your Bibles this evening. Turn to Psalms 119. And this is going to be the theme verse throughout this series that I'm going to start tonight on errors in today's church. And we're going to look at 119, Psalms chapter 119, verse 128. And our theme, or should I say our text verse, is going to be Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 for this message tonight. And when I think about this idea of preaching on errors in today's church, as I mentioned this morning, many of these errors are not only in today's church, they've been around since the church has began. And some different churches have started new heresies, if you will. But again, as I mentioned as well this morning, the Bible says that there's nothing new under the sun. They're just repackaged. Some people today say, well, you can't preach series or messages like this today because if you're going to preach on error, basically you're preaching against certain practices in certain churches. And isn't that divisive? Doesn't that cause division? Doesn't that separate us? Well, the verse that we're going to look at as our theme verse for, or text verse for this series, Psalms 119, verse 128, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. And many of the things that we're going to look at over the next few weeks, we might want to say that they are heresies, but many of them are what we call damnable heresies. And the Bible distinguishes between a heresy, and basically a heresy is a self-willed opinion. It's a schism against orthodox teaching, against biblical teaching. And there are certain heresies that, or divisions, or self-willed opinions that you can believe and you can still be a Christian, you can still go to heaven. But a damnable heresy is a heresy that if you believe it, it's a heresy that is going to send you to hell. Because it either alters, or it changes, or it vacillates from the orthodox teaching of Jesus Christ. And you know, my love and my desire for truth, and as the Bible says here in Psalm chapter 119, and that hatred towards every false way, we should be desirous of the truth of the Word of God. Jesus Christ said that the truth shall set us free. And if we don't stand for truth, the truth will be lost. And the bottom line is, yes, truth is divisive. The truth is divisive. I had a fellow that I was emailing with a couple of years ago, and he decided that he wanted to send me a link to his organization's website, because he noticed that in the signature of my emails, I have a Bible verse. And he says, oh, I noticed a nice little Bible verse you have there. Here's a website you can go to. You might find it a blessing. And so I looked at the website, and of course, it was www.jw.org, and the rest of it's history. And so he started corresponding with me, and he just was going on about how he loved the truth. He just loved the truth. And I said, man, that's great. I'm glad you love the truth. If you ever run into a Jehovah's Witness, they'll always go on about the truth, how they finally found the truth. Well, I started emailing with this guy, and I asked him, maybe sometime we can get together. I have some questions I'd like to ask you. And he said, oh, absolutely. And he says, you want to ask me a question now? And I said, sure, I'll ask you a question. So I asked him a question, and he got a little turned aside, if you will, from this question. He wasn't exactly sure. And I said, well, I told him to take his New World Translation and read in Revelation chapter 1. And my question again was, when did Jehovah die? Because their translation, their perversion of the Bible, in their attempts to remove the deity of Jesus Christ, they've made Jehovah die. Because it's no longer the revelation of Jesus Christ. They've inserted the word Jehovah. They've removed all all references to Jesus Christ being the first and the last. Well, the Bible says there in Revelation chapter 1 and 2 that the first and the last died. They've made that Jehovah. So I asked them, my question was, when did Jehovah die? And he didn't really know what to say. So I explained to him that, and I gave him, again, the Greek, even out of their own New World Translation Greek interlinear, where they've changed what the Bible says, what the original, what the Greek says. Here it is in the Greek from your own translation, and here it is in your translation, and there's whole parts of verses missing. And I showed them three errors, three things that they've omitted because they don't want Jesus Christ to be the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the mighty God, the Almighty there in Revelation 1 and verse 8. And then he got mad at me, and he says, I don't want to talk to you anymore. You're not my friend. And he says, I blocked you on all my emails. You went on and on and on and on and on. So I had like five different emails. I had another email address I sent. I said, sorry, I thought you liked the truth. I thought you loved the truth. And I said, all I told you was the truth. If I'm wrong, if I didn't tell you the truth, could you please correct me? So he didn't like the truth too much. And, you know, sometimes the truth, it may go against our grain. Maybe it goes against what we were born and raised with. Maybe it goes against the preconceived ideas that we've had in our minds and in our life. I think one of the distinguishing marks of a follower of Jesus Christ is a love for the truth. Amen? We should all, as God's people, we should all love the truth. The believer's testimony should be Psalms chapter 119 and verse 128. To esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. The Lord Jesus Christ called himself the truth, and the apostle whom he loved most dearly proclaimed in 3 John 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in love, just getting along with everybody, regardless of truth. That's the new version. No, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And the first thing I want to look at tonight, and again, this one is probably one of the oldest of the errors within the Christian church. And it's faith versus works. And this, I would say, is a damnable heresy. If you believe that you're going to get to heaven because of what you've done, because of your merit, because of your personal righteousness, because of all the good deeds that you've done, and you're not trusting Jesus Christ, you can't get into heaven. You're saying, well, Pastor, that's really cutting a line. Well, Jesus said that there were two men. And the one came to God and was bragging, God, have I not tithed? And have I not fasted? And have I not done this? And have I not done that? You know, he had his thumbs underneath his armpits and just sitting there, I'm just the greatest guy. I've done everything I'm supposed to do. And then another guy comes along who was a sinner, who didn't maybe have a sparkling testimony in his community. And he came to God and he fell on his knees and he said, God, forgive me, for I am a sinner. And Jesus Christ said, which one went away to his home justified? You're saying, well, does that mean if we do all the good things that we're going to go to hell? No, it doesn't mean that. But if that is what we're trusting and if that is what we're bringing before the throne of God, we have been deceived. And we haven't trusted in the only begotten Son, the blood of Jesus Christ, for our cleansing ways. Aristotle, Onassis, one of the richest people in the previous century, started giving away enormous amounts of money before he died to charities and various organizations. And he was doing this because he was trying to see if he could earn a place in heaven. And unfortunately, the vast majority of professing Christianity is doing the exact same thing. Let's pray and we'll get into the message. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come here tonight and to look into the Word of God. May we love the truth, and may we love the Word of God, which is the truth that you've revealed to us. And so God, help us. God, bless us. And again, I do pray, if there's somebody here tonight, Lord, that's maybe trusted in something they've done or being good enough, going to church, being baptized, whatever it may be, I pray if there's somebody here tonight that is putting their faith in what they've done, that they would see tonight it's only through the blood of Jesus Christ and through that suffering and through that judgment that was poured upon Christ on the cross. And Lord, each and every one of us needs to come before you humbly and contrite and seeking the forgiveness that only comes through our Savior. So blessed tonight, would you be honored and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. The National and International Religion did a poll, and it reported, according to the poll, 88% of Catholics and a majority of Presbyterian and Methodist evangelizers, that's those who actively try to share their faith, 88% believe that if people are generally good or do enough good things for others during their lives, they will earn a place in heaven. And the first thing I want to look at tonight is works. Works. Multitudes of Christendom profess that they have faith in Jesus Christ and believe that he died on the cross for their sins. Nevertheless, they believe that their salvation depends on living righteously and perhaps performing some particular good works. Thus, their salvation depends on Jesus Christ plus themselves. Exactly how righteous one must be and how many works are required are very rarely, if ever, defined. What exactly, according to these individuals that believe that we can get to heaven by being good and by doing good works, what exactly do we need to do in order to earn this salvation? We would never know, we would never have assurance, we could never be confident that our sins are forgiven and that we are on our way to heaven, because the Bible is silent. The Bible doesn't tell us that if we commit this sin and this sin plus this sin, we will lose our salvation or we will never have it to begin with. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The problem is, people, even within Christian circles, are fearful that the idea that we are saved by faith through grace alone and not by works of righteousness, are afraid that that is a license for all Christians to go out and live as they please. That's the fear. And so religion has added works. Well, wait a minute. We can't say that you're once saved, always saved, because you can go do what you want. You can just live like the devil and you can say that you're saved because you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ one day. Well, usually when I hear somebody tell that to me, what is stopping you from doing what you want? I usually tell people, well, I am doing what I want. Amen? Shouldn't a Christian want to serve God? Shouldn't a Christian want to flee from sin? Amen? Shouldn't a Christian want to be in church? Shouldn't a Christian want to read the Bible and love the Lord and again, put off the old flesh and put off the old ways? And you know, it is true, Christians can be backslidden. We were joking And we did find out Ellen is sinless and Lloyd and I are not. No, it was the other way around, wasn't it? It was the other way around. No, that was okay. We're a bunch of sinners who have met together and come together under the blood of Jesus Christ to try to get a little closer to our Lord. Amen? And to try to have fellowship with one another and try to, maybe in a few years, maybe we can grow a little more and become more Christ-like. But listen, we're all sinners. Amen? We are all sinners, every single one of us. I will guarantee you every single one of us have sinned today. You're going, preacher, not me. Well, yeah, we have. We've all done something. Maybe we're not even aware of it, but we've sinned. And tomorrow, guess what we're going to do again? We're either going to sin by commission, we're going to do something we shouldn't have done, we're going to think something we shouldn't have thought, or we're going to fail to do something that we should have done. Like, how many of us are going to tell a little white lie tomorrow? Just a little white lie. Oh, white lies are okay, aren't they? Just a little white lie. How many of us tomorrow are going to read our Bibles and get on our knees and pray? And how many of us tomorrow are going to wake up and say, Lord, I seek and desire your will for me today? Or are we going to wake up and just say, Lord, I'm just going to do my own thing and not even pay any attention to God and or our relationship to him? What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying we're all sinners. Amen? None of us have arrived. And contrary maybe to some people's doctrine, I don't think we're ever, as long as we're on this earth, as long as we're in our flesh, and as long as we got the devil constantly at our back, I'm not sure if we're ever going to arrive until Jesus Christ comes back for us. If you've reached sinless perfection, don't tell anybody because you will have just lost it. Right there. Just want everybody to know how good I am. You know, I'm just sinless. Well, good for you. I'm not there yet. Amen. So when we think about this idea of works, none of us ever are, nor will any of us ever be good enough to be saved. None of us ever will. Well, why bother trying? Well, I want to try because I want to please my Savior. Amen. And I want to try because not that rewards are should be our motivation for service for God, but I'm looking forward to a good mansion. Amen? We sang about that mansion. And I want to rule and reign with the Lord. And I want to be able to stand before my God and have Him say to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I don't want to be one of these skin of the teeth, saved by fire kind of Christians that are going to get in, you know, by the skin of your teeth. No works, nothing. Coming to the Savior empty-handed. The majority of Christianity, and by the way, I will say this, biblical Christianity, and I say again, biblical Christianity, the majority of professing Christians, again, according to this poll, 88% of the major denominations believe you can get to heaven by good works. The majority of professing Christianity and people who claim to believe in Jesus Christ would tell you that they get to heaven. They will get to heaven because they've done or are doing good works. The Bible says that if we are humble and repent and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in His shed blood, we will be born again by the Spirit of God. And, you know, when we think about the Scriptures that teach us that we are not saved by works, they are plenteous. We don't have to look far in the Bible. We can look at pretty much the entire chapter of John 3. He that believeth on the Son. Over and over again. Let's look at some scripture here. Ephesians chapter 2 in your Bibles, please. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 to 10, and most of us can probably recite these by heart, and I hope we can. If you're a soul winner, these are important verses. The Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." That ends a lot of argument. "It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." And that we're going to look at this in a second. This verse 10, a lot of people don't quote it. They stop at verse 9. Verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." Is it God's will? And again, I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but is it God's will for us to do good works? Absolutely. Are we saved by good works? No, we're not. It's not of ourselves. So we're going to look at, get rid of this Arminian kind of an idea that, well, if we can't lose our salvation and our works don't matter, then why we can do whatever we want. We'll look at that in a second. Titus chapter 3. Turn in your Bibles to Titus chapter 3. Another really good verse to memorize here. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. And we will actually read right down to verse 8 here. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 to 8. The Bible says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works." Look at what it says here again. "We might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto man." So once again, just like in Ephesians, he says we're not saved by works. But he talks about the importance of works, good works. We could also look at Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16, Galatians chapter 3 verses 10 and 11, and literally hundreds of other verses that teach that we are not saved by works. Turn in your Bibles to James chapter 2, and I want to look at the justifying verses of those that believe that we're saved by works. James chapter 2 and verse 17, we'll read through verse 24 here. The Bible says in James chapter 2, verse 17, "Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devil also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, for he is called the friend of God." And then in verse 24, "Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only." Now, there are many people out there that have gone to these scriptures and said, you know, this clarifies it. We are saved by faith plus works. That's not what he's saying. First of all, we know that because the Bible does not contradict itself. What exactly is James saying here, and what is his point? His point is clear. That we read there in, first of all, we read in Ephesians chapter 2 that we are created unto good works. Right? We're created unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. And then we saw in Titus chapter 3, verses 5 to 8, that we are not saved by works, but a saved person is going to continue in good works because that is God's will for our life. And what James is saying here, that the proof of faith And the evidence of faith is seen through our actions. In other words, he's saying, if you say you have faith, put your money where your mouth is. You know, there's a lot of people out there that say they have faith, but there's no proof in their action. There's no proof in their belief. Listen, if you believe something, it is going to change your behavior. Guaranteed. Our actions always follow our beliefs. If we believe in hell, if you believe that the loss of this world, if you honestly believe in your heart that the loss of this world are going to spend eternity in hell, and that unless they turn to Jesus Christ in repentance and faith, they're going to spend eternity in hell. Should not that change our actions? And should that not change our motivation to be able to witness to people? Listen, if you have a hard time witnessing to people, then do you really believe that that person that you say you love and is your friend and is your family member, I love them, but you know what? I'm not even going to tell them because I don't want to offend them. I'm just going to let them go to hell. I would say there's something wrong. Do you really believe that hell is a reality? Do you believe that without Christ, that is their end? Do we believe that our works for Christ is going to be rewarded? Do we believe that this is only a temporary world that we are passing through and we're living for eternity? We're living for the afterlife and for the millennium and for the eternity that we're going to spend with Jesus Christ. The Bible says that this life that we're living here on earth, it's just a little tiny speck. A little tiny speck in the eternity that we're gonna spend with God. And yet more Christians are more worried, if you will, about laying up treasure for that little speck than they are for the eternity that we're gonna spend with Christ. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with living, if you will, for today. We need to take care of ourselves. Amen. We need to live, we need to work. There's nothing wrong with working. There's nothing wrong with becoming rich. The Bible never condemns being rich. The Bible doesn't condemn those things. But what it does condemn is if those things take the priority. And our Christian service and our love for God and the works the Bible talks about here, if they're absent. And so when James says here in James chapter 2 and verse 24, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith. I want you to notice what he says there. He says, you see then how. And how are we to see? Basically, we are simply to see that our works and the things that we do are proof that we have faith. And listen, by the way, faith, because of the fact that we are saved by faith, faith should drive us to greater works. Amen? Faith should drive us to greater works. I remember, you guys have probably heard me use this illustration. And my kids are always going, Dad, I've heard that story a million times. If you've heard this a million times, just pretend you've never heard it, okay? All right. There was a guy I worked with, and he was of the persuasion that you could lose your salvation. And there was a guy there that both of us knew. He was a mutual friend. His name was Rick, and I was witnessing to him. And really, he was coming along. I would have thought at one point he was going to get saved. I mean, he was just listening, coming over on his breaks, asking me questions. And he started talking to this other guy, the guy of the persuasion that you could lose your salvation. He was talking to him as well. Thought, well, it's not a bad idea. I mean, he's going to give him the gospel and, you know, all these other things. And so one day, this guy, Rick, come over to me and he says, hey, Mark over there told me that once I'm saved, I can lose my salvation. And I said, well, no, that's not right. And so we sat down, went through some scripture, and he says, you know, I think you're right. I, I, Because he said, Mark said to me, you know, well, what's stopping you from doing what you want? And he said, it's interesting. He came back a couple of days later, and he had a big smile on his face. He said, you know what, the funny thing just hit me. And he says, well, I said, well, what's that? And he said, here's Mark, this guy who believes you can lose your salvation. He's playing cards at lunch. He's smoking cigarettes. He's swearing. He's cussing and cursing. He talks about going drinking. He does all of these things. And he says, here's you. And he says, you believe that it doesn't matter what you do, you're not going to lose your salvation. Yet you don't drink. You don't cuss. And, well, I do drink, you know, like Pepsi or something, Coke. But you don't do all. He said, you guys are two totally opposite people. He said, I wouldn't even know that that guy was even a Christian unless he told me. I said, it's funny how unsaved people know how Christians are supposed to act more than Christians do sometimes. And he said, you're the one who you would almost think you could lose your salvation by the way you're living. He said, you think he's the guy that, you know what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? Like, he's the guy that thinks he must be secure because it doesn't matter what he does because he's not acting much like a Christian. And I said that to say this, you know, faith should spurn us on to greater works. Man, you know what? I'm glad. Praise God. I'm glad that when I pillow my head at night, that I don't have to wonder if I cross that, remember that line I was talking about? You know, I've done this sin, that's 4 points. And this sin, and that's 3 points. And this sin, and it's 8 points. Man, and I've crossed the line. If I die tonight in my sleep, I'm going to hell. I can pillow my head at night knowing that I'm saved, knowing that I'm going to heaven, knowing that my sins are forgiven. And that if I did cross the line, I can get on my knees and say, God, forgive me for what I've done. Amen? And He's going to forgive me. He's going to forgive me. You know, the Bible says that the love of Christ constraineth us. It is what keeps us on the straight and narrow. It is what keeps us and motivates us. And listen, that idea that we have that security and that we know that no matter what we do, we're a child of God, and no matter what we do, God is going to forgive us, and all of those wonderful things that come with the doctrine of eternal security, you know what? It gives me motivation. Amen? And it should give the believer motivation. And James is saying, listen, if you say you're saved, if you say you've believed in the doctrines of the faith, in hell and righteousness and eternity and living in a mansion forever and ever with Jesus Christ and ruling and reigning and all the things that go with us, should not that affect our lives and change how we behave? And yeah, it should. Amen? We should be different. So there's a couple of very interesting verses I want us to look at. Romans chapter 4, please. Romans chapter 4. I had someone come up to me and say, Pastor, you preached short this morning. I said, don't worry, I'm going to make up for it tonight. Romans chapter 4, I had a guy of a certain persuasion. I don't know if I'm going to preach on this error as well, but he was of a Calvinistic persuasion. And he said, well, if you can believe, then that's a work. And I said, what? He said, if you can believe of your own free will, that's works. I said, boy, you must be reading a different Bible than me. He said, why? I said, well, I'll show you my Bible here in Romans chapter 4 and verse 5. The Bible says, but unto him that worketh not, but believeth. Believing isn't a work. But believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. There's no contradictions or there's no discrepancy. The Bible is clear. We're saved by faith. But if we say that we are saved and have faith, our actions will back up our profession, if you will. And you know, I think it is unfortunate that, and again, we've seen, I think, clearly in the verses that we've looked at, many Christians think that, well, you know, if we're not saved by works, and, you know, good works really aren't that important. And then they start saying, well, if you are of the persuasion that you need to follow the Bible, if you need to be obedient to the Bible, then you're a legalist. You know, you're believing that, you know, you're saved by works. Well, no, that's not what we're saying. That's not what we say as Christians. Legalism is when you say you're saved by works. So somewhere along the line, there's been the switch and bait, or is it bait and switch? One of those, you know what I mean? With faith and works, and the importance of good works. Just because we are not saved by works doesn't mean they're not important. And it doesn't give us a ticket nor a license to say, well, it really doesn't matter. Again, a Christian, someone that's born again, man, that loves the Lord, should be in the Word of God, saying, God, if there's something that I might do today that might be displeasing to you, I want to know what it is, and I want to be a Christian that's going to please you with my life and my lifestyle and my language and the things that I do. And Lord, I want to make sure that I am doing all that, God, that the things that are going to make you happy. I want to make sure that I'm praying. I want to make sure that I'm reading the Bible. I want to make sure my friends and my family and people that I know, they know about Jesus Christ. When we think about this modern, or should I say, an error in the church today, as I shared that statistic with you, this heresy, this error is propagated by the Catholic Church, Lutherans, liberal Protestant churches, the Church of Christ, Mormonism, Jehovah Witnesses, all the cults would practice those doctrines. And when I talk about heresy and damnable heresy, embracing this doctrine will send you to hell. If you believe, and we're going to look at, you know what, maybe we won't. I only got halfway through my message. I'll start next week. I was going to talk about baptismal regeneration and infant baptism. But we'll talk about that next week. The impact is serious when we look at works. Trusting works in any degree is self-righteousness. Where is boasting then? It's excluded. Only by humility and, as I mentioned, repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, you can have all the good works. You can be like that Pharisee. Never missed a church service. Never skimped on his tithe. Never missed the day of prayer. Never did this. Never did that. Did everything he was supposed to do. Yet the Bible says he went away and he was not justified. And Jesus Christ said, many will come unto me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful works in your name? We've cast out demons. We've done this and we've done that. We've done it all for you, Lord. And Jesus said, in that day, I will say unto thee, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew. It's only through Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful and glorious opportunity to be here today. And as we consider the truth of thy word, Lord, again, these words would be considered, I think, in most of the church to be divisive. But Lord, these are the words of the Word of God. These are the truths that Christians down through the centuries died for, so that we today could have them. Lord, we want to stand on the truth of thy word. Stand on the promises. Stand on the scriptures that have been given to us, the revealed truth. And Lord, each and every day we desire to be all that we can be. And as we have this altar call in a moment, if there's somebody here, maybe you've never put your faith and trust in Christ. Maybe you're trusting in your baptism. Maybe you're trusting in your good works, your church membership, your tithing, your praying, whatever it may be. But you've never seen that it's Christ and Christ alone. He is the only way. I pray that you might make that decision today. Maybe you just want to come down to this altar and thank God for grace that saved a wretch like me. Father, we'll thank you and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. And amen. Let's stand together as we have a song.